Thank you for coming today. Yeah, thank you for listening to the right voice this morning. I always tease people about that. And sometimes if you're staying home, maybe you are listening to the right voice, you know. But don't navigate your life by the grace you give yourself. The grace that saves, the grace that keeps, is the grace that God provides. And God gives His grace to the humble. And I've been on this theme for a while now, and I really feel that it's vitally important that we truly understand what humility is and how it ties into the favor of God. So the title of the message today is Humility and the Favor of God. And how many here want God's favor in your life? Of course, right? We want God's favor. Well, God's favor rests upon those who recognize that they really need Him. Mm-hmm. You and I naturally are stubborn, independent, wanting our own way, and don't like to be under the authority of anybody. The natural man is in rebellion to God. He's hostile to God. He's at war with God, basically. And that's what you see in the political arena, by the way. There's a war against, really, God, against His word, and against the principles that we, as a nation, have decided to live by and put in that document called the Constitution. Amen? The Bill of Rights, everything that we stand for was built upon Judeo-Christian values. Somebody said, well, here we go with a political statement. Well, how many know that politics affect everything in your life? And how many know that the separation of church and state was to give the church, okay, the right to influence government, but not have government influence it? So our laws are supposed to be guided by the principle of God's word, principles of God's word. And not the opposite. But you get some clever lawyers and judges in there that want to redefine what it means. But we know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the Lord is going to be where He told us to be. And that is in submission to Him. If you are submitting yourself to God, then that means that you are listening and obeying His voice. Can you say amen? And so if you want God's favor, you have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up in due season. Amen. Not instantaneously, because growth, you know, requires time. You know, we give our children responsibilities as they prove themselves to be responsible. At least a good parent would do that, right? Once again, you don't give Johnny the car keys at 5 years old, right? He's not ready for it. So 1 Samuel 15 and verse 17, this is when God had sent Samuel to rebuke Saul for disobeying the instruction of the Lord. Saul began to get proud, and he began to think that he can just do it any old way. And he began to also become more concerned about what people thought about him than what God thought. And you know, that is something that we all have to guard against. The fear of man is a snare, you know, it's a trap. And people would love to just intimidate you and pressure you to conform to what they want for you, which may not necessarily be what God wants for you. So you and I are called to partner with our God, amen, and be an ambassador for Him, a representative of Him in this world, that we might be an expression of His heart and people may know who God is as we demonstrate who He is by the way that we live and by what we do. So, 1 Samuel 15, 17, Samuel said to Saul, after he had rebelled against God, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? When I heard that, when I read that, it's one of those things that God kind of burns into you, you know. It was just like, it was a quickened, it was a living word. And this is so important that we pay attention to what he's saying here. Because Saul at one time realized that what he was called to do, he was incapable of in himself. And you and I, likewise, need to be in a place where we realize that what we're called to do for God and with God is beyond what we can do naturally. So we're in a position of humility before God. We have humbled ourselves and say, God, I need you. I need your help. I need your grace to do this. Amen. I need your grace to live this. Because you and I are incapable of bearing the kind of fruit that is acceptable to God. The fruit that God accepts is the fruit of God, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And those who bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit are those who are relying on, abiding in the Lord, relying upon His grace. Those who are not self-sufficient, but those who are find their sufficiency in God. And so Saul at one time was doing all right. The fact that he was king was not God's perfect will for Israel, but Israel kept begging God for a king. So he gave them what they wanted. And there was a season of time when Saul was doing the right thing, but Saul began to get proud as he received more and more accolades, probably recognition of men. And do you understand that conceit can be very subtle? We can be arrogant and not realize that we are. Others will realize it. Others will see it, but we may not. So we need the Holy Spirit to govern and guide our days, amen, and our walk. And so God is in the process of weaning us off self-sufficiency. In the world, it's all about self-sufficiency. But in the kingdom, it's about reliance upon the power of God to accomplish His eternal purposes. And you and I are called to partner with Him, amen, and rely upon the ability that God supplies to do the mission of God in the earth. So if you want God's favor, you have to humble yourself. Submit yourself willingly to God, because His favor rests upon those who recognize they really need Him. I heard another explanation for the word humility. Freedom from arrogance that grows out of the recognition that all we have and are comes from God. Freedom from arrogance that grows out of the recognition that all we have and are comes from God. I've asked this question before because Paul the Apostle asked the church this question, is what do you have that you did not receive? You know, because we pride ourselves in sometimes our abilities, our talents, our looks, our, I never had that problem with that one, but you know, our, don't say amen, by the way. Yeah. Or what we own, you know, the boasting of what one has and what one does is the world, right? And the world is passing away. And the things that are highly esteemed in the world usually are an abomination to God. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher, aren't they? So we need to discover what pleases the Lord. If you want God's favor, you have to humble yourself. And that means be willing to submit yourself to God. To set your agenda aside that you might do the will of God. And then you'll have the favor of God in your life. Isn't that what we learn in Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And His righteousness and all these things shall be what? Added unto you as well. Yeah. It doesn't say seek the things of the world first. And when you once in a while we need some help, call on God. You find yourself in a bind, call on God. In all your ways, do what? Acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. Jesus said in Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What is Jesus saying? He's saying the way to greatness is the way of humility. It's a person who realizes that their own helplessness, that they're not sufficient. They don't have what they need in themselves. They sense that they are void of any eternal life. We can live a soulish life, a temporal life in this world, and we can gain the whole world in some cases. Some people have just about done it, haven't they? But at what cost? Yeah. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? And what can you give in exchange for your soul? But blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, when Jesus spoke, he was speaking things that people never heard before, because they were used to the ways of the world. And the ways of God are not like that. And we are born into a world. We are educated in this world. We learn a lot of things, amen, that really are not in agreement with God's will and God's word and God's ways. And so that's why we need the truth. We need the word of God, amen, that the inspired word of God, the Spirit of God speaking life into us through truth, so that there's light. And where there's light, the darkness has to flee. Where there's light, you can see clearly. Otherwise, we walk around half blind thinking that we see clearly and not aware that we're actually half blind. So the poor in spirit are those who sense their spiritual need, and they find their satisfaction in the Lord. In order for us to be in position to receive from God, we have to first be brought into a place where we realize we need God. And that's the best place to be. Because in our weakness is then His strength. In our inability is His ability. So even though we are clay jars, the excellence of the power is of God. Amen. It's God has put His Spirit within us, this treasure in earthen vessels, so that people will see and experience Jesus, amen, through us. And so God has to deal with that pride issue. He has to humble us. He has to bring us into a place where we now realize that I do need God. And that's the best place to be. Because then the power of God can rest upon you. Because God gives His grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. The poor in spirit are those who sense their spiritual need and find their satisfaction in the Lord. So, in the kingdom of heaven, self-sufficiency is not a virtue. In the world, it is. And so that's why people think, well, Christians, they're just weak. They're sheep. They need a crutch. They're not strong and like we are. They're not as wise as we are. And so man in his own arrogance is in a place where he's void of receiving the revelation of God, because God will not give him sight until he's broken first and brought to a place where he realizes that God is on the throne and that you are not. Because this is the problem, is that we want to be God. We want to be our own God. We want to, naturally, man wants to be his own God. He wants to live independent of God. But we were created for this very purpose. We were created for his pleasure. We were created for fellowship with the Lord. Amen? That is normal living. But the world, who is used to being self-sufficient and prideful and boastful and full of self, cannot understand that. Until they're brought to a place where self is not sufficient anymore. Where I realize that the grace I give myself is just a facade. The image that I try to present to people is a fake. I'm willing to bet, maybe for a few exceptions here, And if you don't, if you raise your hand for this, we're going to have an altar call. That all of us have been selfish because we're just born that way. And God has to bring us to a place of humility. He has to break us, if you will, like a wild stallion that has to be broken in order for it to become user-friendly once again, right? For the rider, for the master. And so, obviously, the horse does not like that rider on its back. And what does the horse do? It bucks. What do we do when God's trying to deal with us? Often we buck, don't we? We resist because we don't want to be brought under submission to any. We want to be that wild stallion that just runs wild and free. Believe me, I was one of them. Wild and free, you know, just running around, reproducing. Don't read into that. Without a care in the world, you know, but of very little eternal value. Right? Because until you and I are broken and brought into the right place, till we're humbled and we become, if you will, user-friendly again, we will be wasteful with the life that we have. So we can cooperate with God in this process, and things will go easier. Or God may have to take us out behind the shed and give us an attitude adjustment. If you're sons and daughters, God wants to bring that will under His will. He won't force it, but He can make things difficult to bring us to a place where we realize that what we are called to be and to do is beyond what we can do naturally. Again, Paul said, I find that in me there what is no good thing. That is in my flesh, in my Adamic nature. A good leader realizes that they've been entrusted with responsibility to do what is right in the sight of the Lord and in the best interest of those they serve. And that has to do with society or the church. In Luke 22, verse 25, Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. But among you it will be different, to his disciples. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Now, who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. For I am among you as one who serves. Do you understand? They were used to the ways of the world. Gaining power, position, title, recognition, pleasing people, often being victimized by the pressure of men to conform to whatever image they want them to conform to. And greatness, you know, for what reason? Why would you want to be great? Do you want to be great so that you can be proud of yourself and have people praise you? Or do you want to be great in the sight of the Lord because you are a humble servant that God can trust with the greater riches of the kingdom? I don't know about you, but I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Amen. If I'm called to do that, I want to be the best doorkeeper I can be. If I'm called to clean toilets in life, I just want to make the cleanest toilet. Believe me, I started out in ministry. I had a pastor that was kind of shepherding me and mentoring me. And you know what? He didn't immediately stick me in the pulpit. He said, you go out and clean the toilets and then, you know, take care of a few things. Go cut the grass or whatever we need to be done around here. He was teaching me to be a servant. And today you go to Bible college and right away you go into a pulpit. And sometimes that's a mistake because their character is not ready for that position. And they become proud. And if we're proud, the grace of God won't rest upon us. And we won't be effective in ministry. Amen? Because God can't trust proud people. Because they're going to put their interests before His. And that's what we do naturally. We put our interests before God. So Lord, help us with this. And you know, He's at work. How many know that America is being humbled right now? How many know that the leaders of America are being humbled right now? How many know that God is taking the lid off and exposing it all? Because He is a God of justice and a God of mercy. And we're in agreement with God. We say, Lord, revive America. Do it again, Lord. Humble the proud. Lift up the downtrodden. Amen. There's going to be one highway, one way, and that's the cross to life. All souls belong to the Lord. That's why it's so important, guys, how we treat one another. Amen? Because everybody belongs to Jesus. I'm not talking about everybody being saved, but all souls belong to the Lord. So how we treat people is how we're treating God, who we don't see. Pride is also seeing ourselves in God's place. I'm going to be God. I'm going to be God of my own destiny. God does put you in charge. But we have a responsibility in that position to humble ourselves and submit to God's authority. Once again, if you and I choose to put ourselves under God's authority, if we are willing to submit ourselves to God's word, then God can entrust authority to us, and His grace will rest upon us. You understand? There's a connection between obedience and the favor of God. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. How many want to be a friend of God? How many know that a friend will have favor? A friend you can share sometimes even your secrets with. Pride is seeing ourselves in God's place, trying to take the place of God. That's what's happening in the world, amen? In the governments, people trying to be God. Trying to be God over us. Amen? I bow my knee to Jesus Christ. How about you? And I declare He is Lord, because every knee will bow before Him. And all His enemies will bow and declare He is Lord. He's coming to rule. He's coming to reign. Today is the day of salvation. Today we bow. Amen. And let God do the work and prepare us for that great day is coming soon. What was Satan's demise? Pride. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. Listen to verse 13. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. What's he doing? He's repeatedly exalting his will above God's will. So if we're not careful, we can yield to that sin nature that we were born with, the Adamic nature, who is just like the devil, by the way. That's why Jesus said to the Pharisees, your father is the devil. Mm-hmm. How many know that Jesus had a way of influencing people and making friends, right? Yeah. Or the other way around? How many know that he knew how to really expose things that were hidden? And they thought they were quite righteous and holy until the Lord showed up. And the light came on. Well, we have our father, Abraham. He says, if he was your father, you would do his works. But you're of your father, the devil. Wow. What is he saying? Guys, all of us were born in sin. with a sin nature that's subject to it. Amen. That's why Jesus came, hallelujah, to come and break the power of sin. Amen. To strip Satan of his panoply, of his authority, hallelujah, and restore you and I back into fellowship with the Father. Amen. To crown us once again with the glory of the anointing, hallelujah, and call us sons and daughters. And raise us up together with him and allow us to partner with him in his mission in the earth. What an awesome thing, amen, that God has done for us. So that's the problem right there, is that I will. We have a will, but we have to choose what we will do with that will. We have to make a decision who we're going to bow down to. Are we going to bow down to the Adamic nature who is subject to Satan? Or are we going to bow down to the Lord? There's a part of you in Christ, amen, that new man created in Christ Jesus that desires to please the Lord, that desires to obey God. Amen? That's what you bow down to. That's the one that you serve. That's the Master. You listen to Jesus now. When pride comes, Proverbs 11 and 2, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Proverbs 29, 23, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Notice it says they will retain honor. How many know that you can lose honor? You can be in a position of honor and lose it. That's what happened with Saul. Because he didn't remain humble. He didn't continue to submit himself to God. He got proud. And he became self-sufficient. And he didn't think he needed to rely on God anymore. When he was little in his own eyes, he was king over Israel. But then when he became proud, then all of a sudden, what people thought was more important than what God thought. And he had a terrible fall, didn't he? So pride is our enemy. It's the enemy of every human being that's ever been born. And we all struggle with it. Somebody say amen. Psalms 51:5, here's David. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. He's saying, I realize I'm sinful in my very nature. But David also realized that, you know, that he needed God, didn't he? And David loved the Lord. And David did repent, and David was restored to fellowship. Praise God. We have an advocate today with the Father, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ. That we can run to him, amen, and find refuge. Forgiveness of sins, hallelujah. The Lord ever lives to make intercession for us. He prays for us. Paul said this, for I know that in me, here it is again, that is in my flesh, I find, what, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. It says, I want to do the right thing, but I just can't. Anybody ever struggle with that one before? You want to do the right thing, and then you find that you can't. And the reason why you can't is because we are too self-reliant at times. As long as we are self-reliant, we can't. Now, you can accomplish things in this world, but you cannot accomplish the will of God in yourself. It requires God's power, God's ability. We have to find our sufficiency in him and not in self any longer. So blessed are the poor in spirit, those who realize that they need God. They're in a position to receive the power of God and to be used of God. Amen. Favor with God comes from or through humility. So God gives his grace to the humble, right? Here it is, James 4:10. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. Remember again, the religious leaders, the Pharisees of Jesus' day, they looked for honor from men. They wanted to be recognized by men. They were narcissists. And guys, I don't mean to be offensive, but, well, yeah, I do. No. But we're all born narcissists, okay? Some are worse than others. But we really are very self-centered, you know. I mean, you know that when you're a kid and you see that birthday cake being cut up, right? And there's that big piece with a glob of frosting on it. Nowadays, I'm like, ugh. But at that time, it was like, that was the prize, man. And if you had brothers and sisters, man, you were like contending for that. You'd climb over somebody to get that piece, right? You wouldn't yield. You wouldn't be willing to give somebody else first place, right? You wanted to be first. That's the natural man. Very self-centered. So God is in the process, again, of bringing you and I into a place of submission so that we can be a user-friendly vessel that God can trust. And God wants to keep us in that place of humility. Men, we have to be careful. I read a book years ago by Richard Deutsch. He was the 700 Club director back in the day. And it was called Fatal Conceit. And he talked about how he started out with just a servant's heart wanting to serve the Lord and, you know, and please the Lord. And then after he got famous and he got big and the money started coming in, he said without realizing it, he just started to get proud, you know. And he started to think that he might be a little better than everybody else. Keep a long story short, he ended up crashing and burning because of that. But he learned a valuable lesson that if you exalt yourself, you'll be abased. But if you humble yourself, you will be exalted. Amen. Well, you guys, we got to understand that none of us deserve Jesus. None of us deserve his grace. We don't deserve his gifts. We don't deserve anything. What we deserved was death, but Jesus loved us so much that he took our place at the cross. Amen. To release us from that penalty that we deserved to pay so that we could be sons and daughters of the Most High God, be brought back in the right relationship. Amen. And learn how to walk together with him. Amen. Yoked up together with him. Amen. The stronger with the weaker. And as we learn to walk in submission to the Lord, what happens is we start to get what? Stronger. And then we begin to learn how to walk in harmony, to walk together with the Lord. Amen. And accomplish the mission of God together with Jesus. You see, God doesn't do it all. God's only going to be in charge of you to the degree that you allow him to be. Well, God is in control. Actually, God has given you control, and he's wanting you to submit yourself to his control. He doesn't force it on you. He doesn't make it happen. Any relationship is that way, isn't it? It has to be consensual. All right. So humility, it's a safety net. There's safety when we're under God's authority. It'll protect you from falling away. And it'll also protect us from rebellion, from the spirit of rebellion, which is witchcraft. Because humility is actually not weakness. This is the misinterpretation of that. Humility really is strength under control. Strength under restraint. A soldier needs to learn how to discipline himself. If you go into combat, they issue you a certain amount of ammunition. Well, you've got to be controlled in how much ammunition you use, or within the first few minutes, it can all be gone. And then you're in trouble. It takes discipline, all right? So many things. What is God saying? He wants us to learn how to control ourselves by relying upon his ability, his grace, to give us the strength that we need to control this body and make it our servant. Your body, amen, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not evil. But within us is that old Adamic nature, the soul man, amen, that's in rebellion to God. And so we need to learn how to submit ourselves to God and allow God to have control over us. Allow him to be Lord of our lives. How many have realized that you can do what you want with yourself? But there are consequences, true, for doing what you want. And so if we're wise, we'll understand that God is the creator, The Creator is much smarter than the creation. And He knows what works for us. And we have to learn that lesson. Sometimes through mistakes. Well, I did it my way. Well, how did that work for you, right? I'm trying to learn, guys, how to do it His way. And sometimes that old nature can be really strong and tough to deal with. And if you don't pray, you're going to fall prey, you've heard it said. If you don't have a connection to Jesus, you don't walk in the Spirit, you know, your flesh man is going to start ruling. And next thing you know, you can find yourself, it doesn't matter how long a person's been walking with the Lord. Sometimes people get self-confident because, well, I've been walking with the Lord so long. And sometimes they could be just dead and dried up and or some kind of old Pharisee, you know, the self-righteous and not even realizing how, well, how bad they are. you know what I'm saying? And so God has to, He has to keep us humble. He has to work on us. He has to keep us in that place because sometimes, you know what I'm talking about, when things are going so well, things are going smoothly, or maybe you just had a mountaintop experience. God did something wonderful for you. Beware. Understand that the next morning when you get up, you're going to need Jesus the way you did the day before. Amen. Because the enemy, he's slick. He's like a roaring lion, remember, seeking whom he may devour. So he studies us. He watches us and says, so-and-so's not praying. So-and-so doesn't have the armor on today. How many know what I'm talking about? If you don't prepare yourself and you don't keep the armor of God on you, you don't pray in the Holy Spirit and keep yourself strong in your spirit, man, that outer man will become more strong. And guess who the enemy can influence? He'll influence you through your soul, through your emotions. How many know that many people today are making emotional decisions but not wise decisions? And the devil knows how to get crowds stirred up over an emotional thing. To the point where people aren't even using good common sense anymore. You ever watch the news and get really irritated and start venting and ranting when you see it? Yeah. It means he's getting in there, poking you. We got to guard ourselves against that stuff. Humility. You will save the humble. 2 Samuel 22:28. You will save the humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty that you may bring them down. Guys, the arrogant people that we are seeing in the news every day are not going to remain in that arrogance forever. The Lord is going to come. In His time, He's going to rule over all the earth. He's going to put down all rule and authority. He is going to be established on His throne in Jerusalem, and He will reign as King of kings and Lord of lords. In that day, every knee will bow. Hallelujah. And I believe that even now, God is starting to humble people, and He's humbling His church. He's humbling America because He wants to save America. He's bringing us to a place where we're going to realize that, God, we have been arrogant. We've been self-sufficient. We have felt like we didn't need You. But now we realize that we need You. That's a good place to be. Because that's where the grace of God begins to flow out. And that's when revival begins to break out. That's when people's eyes begin to open up and they start to see how good God is. Favor comes through humility. Humility is not weakness, guys. It's strength under authority. And it's not using my will power to gain advantage over others. Zephaniah 2 and verse 3 says, "Seek the Lord, all who are humble, and follow His commands. Seek to do what is right and to live humbly. Perhaps even yet the Lord will protect you from His anger on the day of destruction." Now we know that God has appointed a day in which He shall judge the world. There is coming a day of the Lord's vengeance, a day of His wrath. Amen? As it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the coming of the Son of Man. The people mocked and scorned and refused to bow and humble themselves before God and obey his voice and join Noah and his party in the building up of the ark. And only the 8 souls that had partnered with him were the ones that were saved in that day. We're seeing a reenactment of that very same thing today, where many are refusing to bow their knee to Christ. Amen. And yet there is coming a day when God's judgment will be poured out once again on the earth. This time it will be a judgment of fire. And those who have humbled themselves, amen, under his mighty hand, he lifts up in honor. He's able to protect. He's able to gather us to himself. Come on, somebody. Because he has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Get right with God, amen, while you've been given an opportunity to do so. Hallelujah. And partner with Jesus, amen, in the building up of his body, his church, amen. Find out, Lord, how can I be a part in what you're doing today, amen. Get involved, hallelujah. Otherwise, the world is going to suck you in, amen, and occupy you with vain things that in eternity have zero value. The enemy is a thief. He wants to steal from you. He wants to rob you of your inheritance. The Lord came that you might have life and life to the full. And he said it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. So humility will protect us. It keeps us under, amen, that protective covering of the Lord. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Amen. There's a place of security in the Lord. Amen. Willing to submit, willing to yield. If you humble yourself, then God will exalt you to honor. Okay? Now, Micah 6:8. Here's another one. He has shown these. This used to be a song back in the day. I don't know if many of you remember Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Humility is demonstrated by submission. It's the ability to cheerfully put away our agenda for God's. Now, even if God's will is expressed through another person, humility is me being able to say, let me support you in what you're doing. Let me celebrate what God's doing in your life and God doing through your life. Let me be a faithful partner to you and help you in your journey. Let me serve you. Are you hearing me, somebody? Not, oh, how come he got that and I didn't get that? How come he got recognized? Well, how come they shook their hand but didn't shake my hand? You know what I'm saying? We should be able to celebrate one another and the diversity of the giftings that God has given. Amen? When you're a submitted servant, you're like, God, you decide. I'm just available however you want to use me, you know. God, but I want to be used and I want to partner with you and I want to live a life that's honorable and that's pleasing to you. But I also want to be here to support and encourage my brother, my sister, amen, and the thing that God has called them to do. Amen. That's called encouragement, right? God wants us to encourage one another and celebrate the different gifts that God has put within his body, amen? I don't have to all have it all right? I know some people think they have it all, but I beg to differ. I've heard somebody say, I have all of it. Well, you don't have all of it all the time. I mean, God may use you here and there, but you don't have all of it all the time. No, that's why God called us as a body, amen, that together will be a full expression of the Lord. And that's why we need each other. And that's why we should be assembling, amen, and iron sharpens iron, right? We're working together to build one another in the Lord and use what God has given me to be a benefit to somebody else and be willing to receive from somebody else too. And to yield and give them first place. Because many that are first will be last. Amen? But many that are last will be first. So, humility is really, it's essential to our relationship with God. If we want to walk in his grace, that means his favor, his unmerited favor, then we must lay aside our pride and be humble towards God and towards others. And let me just say this, grace and pride are enemies. They're not compatible. If you want grace, you want favor, humble yourself. Get over yourself. Get over the opinions of people. You don't, it's not, ministry is not about making me famous, right? Or getting attention. How many have seen too much of that already? Amen. And if we're not, it's easy to get caught up in that, by the way, right? Especially when people start talking about how wonderful you are. And you're thinking, man, if they only knew. No, I'm just. We got to stay humble in our own estimation of ourselves. Think soberly. God has given each one of us a measure of His grace. Be faithful stewards over what God has invested in you. Amen. Submit that to the Lord and say, Lord, where and how? The reason why is because we want to honor God, right? But where and how can I use this for your glory and for the benefit of others? And if you're really willing to serve the Lord will reveal to you where and how you can be a blessing in this world. There's opportunities. If you don't believe me, come talk to me. I can help you out. I can find you something to do. We need some toilets that need to be cleaned. But you know, if you've got to clean toilets, do it as unto the Lord, right? Whatever you do, just do it as an act of worship unto the Lord. And I want to just say this. Pride is even present in our hurt feelings. And I get hurt. My feeling got hurt. What do you do? It touched your soulish man. That's why if you correct a proud person, they'll hate you. They'll lash out at you for it. Because you touched their pride. Some people are very spiritual, you know. They walk on clouds. I mean, they can pew hop. They can swing from chandeliers even. They're very spiritual. Until you try to correct them. Manifestation time, you know. Yeah. So, it's a subtle thing. Sometimes we get hurt. It just meant, you know what, I wasn't strong enough. I wasn't humble enough. I was too full of me and going on willpower and self, amen, so that I became an easy target. If you're armored up, if you're full of the Holy Spirit, and you walk in that place with God, amen, these things are just, they're trivial. It's like you don't really care. I want you to like me, but if you don't, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. And I'm going to love you anyways, whether you like it or not. By the grace of God, we can do all things, right? Through Christ who strengthens us, not self, but by the grace that God supplies us. So pride demands that God bless me in light of what I think I deserve. Well, God, I deserve this. Look how exemplary I've been today. I've done such a good job. I helped that little old lady across the street. Certainly you owe me now for that. No, we can just say, thank you, Lord, that you allowed me, amen, to serve you today. And thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for paying the price that I deserve to pay. I don't deserve you, but you love me. And I just want to live for you and love you back the rest of my life. I want to worship you now. I've worshipped myself. Now I'm going to worship you. I'm going to esteem you. I'm going to make you famous. I'm going to point people to you, not to me. When I played rock and roll in the world, it was all about self, you know. Being famous, being on the spotlight. And even though most of the time I played in these back, smoky, beer-stained, whatever, if I mention some of them, you probably recognize them from Tacoma, but I'm not going there, so. We were on top of the world, you know. God had a way of taking me down and correcting my judgment, my perspective, and helping me to understand that I don't have anything that he didn't give me. Amen? Or that I didn't receive from somebody else. So if I have any talents, give God the glory for it. Amen? If you can sing, play an instrument, walk and chew gum, and all things, give thanks to the Lord, right?
Amen.
Give praise to Him. And understand that whatever you receive from the Lord, amen, you just be thankful for it and be a good steward over that. And don't worry about what God's doing with your brother or your sister, amen. Instead, celebrate them, hallelujah. Have a right attitude towards them. That's true humility. Here's another one. Proverbs 9 and 8. So don't bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you. But correct the wise, and they will love you. Verse 9, instruct the wise, and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous, and they will learn even more. And of course, this one that we know so well, Proverbs 29:23, pride ends in humiliation, while humility brings honor. Another thing, guys, I want to mention is self-hatred. Self-hatred is pride. It's a myth that you hate yourself. I thought it was lowest self-esteem. Where does the Bible tell you to esteem yourself? It doesn't. It says humble yourself and God will esteem you. He will give you confidence. Your confidence needs to be in Christ. The problem is we've been confident in ourselves so much that we've decided to live independent of our Creator for whom we've been created to serve, amen, and walk with. So self-hate, for example, well, I hate myself. You ever said that? I have. I called myself some names before. I'm not going to mention them here today. But I've been mad at myself. I have, you know, and I've said some things. And you know what? It's actually my pride that was hurt. And that's why I have this self-loathing thing. Guys, think about it. If you really hated yourself, then you would be glad when something bad happened to you. You would rejoice when somebody criticized you or put you down, right? I'm talking about, well, no. It's pride that puts us in the safe because we have an overinflated opinion of ourselves. And we don't live up to that overinflated opinion of ourselves, or we try to live above what God has called us to do and be, amen, and that doesn't work out, come on, then we're crushed because our pride got hurt, amen, and then we say, I hate myself, when you actually don't. It's because you love yourself so much that you're upset. So pride is a subtle thing. And God is in the process of weaning us off that. Bringing us to a place where we're like that stallion that's now in a position to be useful for the rider. All right? So we want to let God have His way with us. If you want to receive God's favor, you're going to have to learn to say yes to Him. Be a yes person with the Lord. Not now. Yes, Lord. One of these days? No, now. We have altar calls sometimes, and guess what happens? Some people are too prideful to admit that they need to be down here, amen, on their knees. When God may be at that time dealing with your heart about something, then that pride comes in and you say, but what will people think about me going down there? They may think I'm less than a Christian than I've wanted them all to believe. Pride. But if you humble yourself, you say, I don't care what anybody thinks. I need to get right with God. Amen. It's not about pleasing people. It's about pleasing the Lord. It's about making Him happy. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, it's refreshing to be around people. And we are a group like that are authentic. You know, you are who you are. You're not trying to fake or be somebody you're not or put on some facade. So that people can feel, they can relax around you. Are you understanding? What was it that made Jesus so attractive? Why did The children want to run up onto his lap. And why did people want to flock around Jesus? Because Jesus made people feel loved. Because he did. They knew he loved them. Are you hearing me? And he didn't come to condemn. He came to save. He saw it all. He knew it all. Amen? God sees it all. Let's just get real. Let's get authentic. Let's say, Lord, if I need to repent, I'm going to do that. You know, and I don't want to put it off. Why? Because I want your favor in my life. I want your blessing in my life. I don't want to live with unforgiveness in my heart towards others. I don't want to live in rebellion towards you. Whatever it is the Lord would deal with your heart about, humble yourself. Be a yes person. Yes, Lord. I want to be faithful to the one who's always faithful. We're in covenant with him. We're in relationship. We're married to him. He is faithful and true. And as his bride, I want to be faithful back. I want to keep myself unspotted from this world. Amen? I want to discipline myself so that I live honorably in this vessel that God gave me. Amen? That I might live in a way that will please him and honor him, glorify him. Because you and I, guys, are that expression of God in the earth. We are the salt and we are the light. True humility, guys, is you and I being in a place where we're willing to let go of it all. We're willing to cast our cares upon him. We're willing to let go of the worry. Worry is you and I. It's also saying, no, I've got to be in charge of this. I've got to carry this worry. God says, give it to me. Amen. Let it go. Come into my presence. Find rest for your soul. Amen. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up and honor. I want to finish with this. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. I mentioned this briefly, but the day is coming when God himself will humble all the pride of men and all who do wickedly. The Lord of heaven's armies says, the day of judgment is coming, burning like a furnace. On that day, the arrogant and the wicked will be burned up like straw. They will be consumed, root, branches, and all. So the arrogance that we see today being on display, they're either going to humble themselves, they're going to repent, or they're going to be burned up. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And you will go free, leaping with joy like calves led out to pasture. Isn't it good to be free in our spirits? To have peace with God? To have a conscience that's clear? To live a life that's free of guilt and shame? All that has been purchased for you already, and it's available to you already in Jesus. You can walk free. No condemnation. Confidence in God, not confidence in me. Faith in God, not faith in me. Grace that comes from God, not the grace I give myself. On that day, when I act, you will tread upon the wicked as if they were dust under your feet. God's going to flip the tables. He's going to turn it around. And the humble, the ones that were despised and rejected, the ones that were trampled on and taken advantage of, God's going to flip that. And the ones that were humbled under his hand, that were obedient to him, even in some cases unto death, he's going to exalt them. Hallelujah. Amen. With him. And those who refuse to bow their knee will bow. All of his enemies will bow down. And they will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. God's going to humble the proud, but he's going to exalt the humble. Do you want God's favor in your life? He gives his grace to the humble. Do you need him? Do you realize you need him? That's a good place to be. They're the ones who acknowledge their own helplessness and they rely on God's power. And again, humility is essential to our relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When I was a young minister, I used to get so upset when people would fall asleep. How they ever did, I don't know. I was shouting so loud. But sometimes if it's a constant din of shouting, you can go to sleep too. But I used to get upset with, you know, they weren't paying attention or whatever. And so I would get louder. And I used to even call, I would start out with youth, and I'd call them out. You know, hey, pay attention, I'm talking here. Now it's kind of like, well, maybe they had a rough day, they need some sleep. You know what I'm saying? If God is drawing a person, he's working on somebody's heart, they're going to be alert. They're going to be awake. They're going to be, are you hearing me? So just, I'm just leaving that stuff up to God, you know. Some people are going to be saved. Some people won't. It's not for me to decide. You and I are simply the bearers of the news, amen. I'm the paper boy. I bring out the news, and here it is. It's up to you whether you want to receive the news or not. And guess what? The news that we're presenting is not fake news. It's the truth. Hallelujah. Jesus loves you. He loves you. He wants you. He's got good in store for you. He wants you to learn to humble yourself, to make a decision. Today is a day of decision for you and for me. Who are we going to serve? God gives his grace to the humble, and the humble are those who realize that without him, they cannot. If you want to bear fruit unto eternal life, you must submit yourself to God. If you want to have victory over the devil, you must submit yourself to God. And then if you resist him, he will flee from you. You want God's power in your life? You want God's grace upon you? Humble yourself. Don't make it about you. Make it about Jesus. And make it about others. And his grace will rest upon your life. Lord, thank you for each one today. Thank you for being with us, helping us understand. Holy Spirit, for I know that you're present here and you're helping, Lord. And that you are revealing to us the things of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to sow this word into our hearts with understanding, that it will produce transformation, that we will be in a place of fruitfulness. God, I know that there's a reason why everybody decided to come today, because there is a hunger and there is a desire, Lord, there to know you and to do what's right in your sight, and to live for you. Father, I pray that you remove the veil from our eyes. Anoint the eyes of our understanding with divine eye salve. Give us revelation, understanding of the will of God concerning each one of us, that we might commit ourselves to you to do the work you've called us to do, as we are willing to submit our will to your will this day. Oh, Jesus, we declare you our Lord.